Hey y'all, welcome to the sixth part of our series on the vice presidential debate. This episode is going to be about the Second Amendment. So, buckle your seatbelts. This episode is called The Vice Presidential Debate Part 6, Guns. Let's get started. So, to begin with, my thoughts on charging the parents of a school shooter are that it is wrong to do that because the Bible clearly says that the sins of the son should not be visited on the father. And just like how I don't think that the sins of the father should be visited on the son, and that the unborn child should not be put to death for what his father did in terms of conceiving him, I also don't think that the parents of a school shooter should be put to death or even just put in prison or anything else when it comes to what their children do. Now, I do see where Vance is coming from when he mentions that it's different if a kid steals a gun versus if his parents give him a gun. And I do think that it's definitely worth having a conversation about, like, teaching your kids about gun safety and, like, figuring out, like, at what age are kids ready to appreciate that the gun that they have is a potentially dangerous weapon if pointed in the wrong direction and used in the wrong context, that they need to be careful and responsible with it. However, I don't think that's necessarily a government issue to determine that, because kids mature at different rates, and if you have a kid who is, you know, taught how to hunt at a young age, and he has, like, uncles and his dad and his brothers and whatnot that he goes hunting with, and not saying girls can't go hunting too, but just traditionally it's been a more masculine sport, we can also have a conversation about hunting for sport. But anyway, I don't think that that's something that the government can or should decide, because there is no one cut and dried age at which a child is ready to be around a gun. Now, I think we can agree that generally a 2-year-old might be too young, or not might be. I think most of us would say, yeah, keep 2-year-olds away from guns. But 2-year-olds are also not the ones that are going and shooting up schools. So, I mean, I do think that it is worth having that conversation. And I do think that we should have some way of addressing it when it comes to that a parent gives the child a gun, especially not knowing that the child's going to then go and shoot up a school. And I do think that, you know, if you have a child who has mental health issues already, and we'll get to mental health here in a bit, but if you have a child that you know already has mental health, like, issues or violent tendencies, and you give him a gun, that's objectively bad parenting on your part. But bad parenting is not, as far as I'm aware, bad parenting is not specifically a crime. I mean, we have things like child neglect, child abuse, but bad parenting, bad decision-making on your part as a parent in and of itself is not a crime, nor should it be. That'd be very scary. That'd be a very scary world to live in. So I know that that's an issue where there is no one cut-and-dried answer. And those issues are hard for me because I don't know what to think, because I tend to be a person that likes things to be pretty cut-and-dried. But I do know that I don't think the government should be assuming overreaching power, and this is one of the many issues where they shouldn't, because every case is a bit different. And as far as, like, the illegal guns are concerned, yeah, Vance points out that, you know, a lot of the guns that are being used in gun violence, they're illegal guns, and the open borders are allowing more and more of those to come over. So, you know, the left wants to red flag law us into oblivion, but the truth of the matter is, a lot of the people who are getting guns, they're either, if they get them legally, it's because they didn't break any of the existing laws. If they get them illegally, it's because they did break the existing laws. I think we have too many gun laws. I mean, I know this may be a bit of a shock, but Fun fact about criminals. They're not exactly known for following the law. You can make a law. You can make enough laws that you would have to use the world's entire supply of paper to print one copy of them. And criminals would still find a way to break those laws. Because that's what criminals do. Yeah, the left's approach to this is very flawed. And then when it comes to securing our schools, I do acknowledge school shootings are a problem. And I have some thoughts on why. I think that, I agree with what Vance said that, you know, the reason you don't have so many of these gun crimes in Finland is because you don't have as much inner city violence and you don't have as much mental health issues. Now, Walls likes to claim that if you're going to bring up mental health, you're stigmatizing mental health by bringing it up. But the truth of the matter is, nobody is out there seriously claiming that every mentally ill person has, like, everybody that has a diagnosis is going to go out there and shoot people. Nobody is seriously claiming that. And if they did, I think we would all be within our rights to find that claim very upsetting. Now, I think that we have too many things we've pathologized that are just normal parts of the human condition. I've spoken on that theme before. But either way, nobody's out there seriously claiming that everybody who is quote-unquote mentally ill, or everybody that even we agree on is mentally ill, is going to go out there and commit a school shooting. Nobody's saying that, nor should they. Okay? That's not a claim that anybody is seriously making. And if they are, well, then that's a sad reflection of their worldview. But anyway, so when it comes to securing the schools, my thoughts on this are pretty simple. I mean, I do see the point. You don't want kids going to scary looking schools. I understand that. But I also know that, you know, we secure our banks. Our banks have security guards. They have guns. Under the teller's desks, there's usually a silent alarm button. Or at least there often is. There's some way that they can contact the police the minute somebody walks in, tries to rob the bank. So I don't see why that can't be put into our schools. I don't see the problem with having armed guards, you know, police officers or private security, whatever you want to do. I don't see the point. I don't see the problem, rather, with having that. Because I think that our children, we should value our children more than we value our money. So if anything, our schools should be more secure than our banks. I don't know exactly how you do that without making the school look scary, quote unquote. I don't know how you do that exactly. I'm not an expert on that topic, but the thought of, do you want your schools hardened like a fort? I think Walls was saying that to say that we shouldn't have a bunch of security measures at our schools. But I actually think that you could take that thought and you could turn it the other way. You could say, like, hey, we protect, you know, forts were used back in the old days. If you wanted to protect, you know, if you wanted to have a group of soldiers there to protect that area, you had forts there you used to protect that area. And, you know, forts, castles, those types of places, those were the places where all the people would run to if they were being invaded by an enemy. You know, if an enemy was attacking your village, you ran to the fort or the castle to be protected. So actually, I think imagining a fort is not a scary image the way Walls probably intends. I think, yes, our schools should be hardened like a fort if we have these people running around shooting up schools. Then we should protect our children as much as we can. I would even say that we should allow teachers to carry. I have no problem with that. Not saying they should be forced to, but if they want to, and if they prove to the school that they'd be able to, if we have them do some sort of training, then I don't see a problem with it. So those are my thoughts. And I mean, we can have a conversation about why people go out and commit these shootings. I do think mental health is a part of that problem. I do think that, you know, when it comes to the issue of gun violence more generally, not school shootings necessarily, a lot of the gun violence is inner cities, it's gangs, and when you have, like, illegal immigration, and you have open borders, you not only have more illegal guns, you have more gang members. Because I do think that a lot of these third world countries are emptying their jails. I mean, they just released a report about the amount of murderers and people convicted of assault and people who were pending charges for these types of violent crimes. People convicted of burglary, and so on and so forth, that are now roaming around, that were allowed in illegally, that are now roaming around. And they're in the thousands, so I don't think it's a conspiracy theory to say that a lot of these countries are emptying their jails, and if that is happening, then we need to look at that rather than looking at law-abiding citizens, because the truth of the matter is, as I alluded to earlier, with the idea that criminals don't follow laws, any new gun law you pass is only going to affect those who follow the law. Criminals, not known for following laws. So if you pass a new law, guess what? You're still going to have criminals out there who are doing illegally obtaining guns and committing these crimes. And you're only going to make the law-abiding citizens easier pickings for the criminals. That's all you're going to do. I mean, you look at these cities like Chicago that have the very strict gun laws, and you still have a bunch of shootings. Why is that? Because criminals do not follow the law. It's the truth of the matter. And I think that, you know, another thing that happens with school shootings, in addition to mental health, I think another reason why is because the moment somebody goes out there and commits a shooting like this, it doesn't even have to be a school, it could be at a store, it could be at a concert, we immediately plaster their name and face all over the media. We cover it wall to wall, which, yes, I don't think we should sweep these crimes under the rug, but when you give people that platform, some people do not know that there's a difference between good and bad attention. They see it all as attention and publicity. They see it as their way into the history books. And or they already had a personal vendetta against whatever school they targeted, or against whatever ethnic group they targeted. I mean, Audrey Hale, she had a vendetta against the school because she went to that school and she had very clear anti-Christian views, judging from her writings. I think we should not just be talking about the guns. We should be talking about the people, because guns don't kill people. It's the people that kill people. I mean, as I said in a previous episode, the emphasis on guns rather than people, that's like taking a match to court for burning a house down, okay? It's not the match that burned the house down. It's the person who lit the match. And it's the same thing here. The gun did not wake up one day and decide to just go shoot people. The gun did not grow legs, walk to the school, and just start shooting indiscriminately. That's not what guns do, because guns are not alive. They cannot make their own decisions. But people can. So, those are my thoughts. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this episode, or at least become a bit more informed by what I've said, or at least considered it to be food for thought. You can find us on Spotify, Amazon Music, the RSS feed, iHeartRadio, and Pandora. You can also contact us on our Facebook page, Jesse's Fireside Chats, and on X at JFSCPod. And if you want to shoot me an email, I did not intend for an unfortunate pun there, but if you would like to send me an email, feel free to do so at Jessie's Fireside Chats, Jessea's Fireside Chats, all one word, at gmail.com. Please pass this along to anybody you know that might be interested. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you'll come back next time. Have a blessed day.